Saints, thank God for every good and perfect gift. Amen. He said every good and perfect gift comes from above.
Amen.
From the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, he does not change. Amen. That's an awesome fact.
Oh, yes, it is.
Amen. We bring you greetings in the name of the Most High God. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pardon me as I went my whistle where I went up yonder and had to go down into, a little deeper into the well.
Amen.
Amen. But we thank God for the opportunity.
That's it.
And thank God for all of you. And thank you for being here, everybody. Great to see all of you.
Amen.
Amen. It is likewise, a blessing.
Likewise.
So we're going to go ahead and not delay the time. Got some really good thoughts last week. If you were not here, just to refresh you, just a touch, or enlighten you, whatever the case, we talked about the work of progressive sanctification.
Yeah.
Amen. How essential that is, and what that means. It sounds like a big theological term, but it just means simply, just to put it in a nutshell for you today, that when you trust the gospel, that's the good news that the church has been left to preach in all the world, that God loves you just like you are. You don't have to worry about, do I need to adjust anything, other than you need to trust God and believe in the name of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And that shouldn't be hard for you, because your whole life has been wrapped around him, whether you wanted it or not. Because God, being God who does not change, made Christ an indelible fixture in the whole world, in everybody's life. You say, what you mean by that, Pastor? Well, I mean, he wrapped time all around his Son. It's 2017 because that refers to the year of the birth of Christ. And you know, they're all talking about a solar eclipse, S-O-L-A-R. And I want to talk to you about a solar, S-O-U-L-R, eclipse. Because your soul needs to be eclipsed by Jesus Christ, if you will. In other words, he needs to get between the judgment of God and you and block everything coming from God's judgment against you. He needs to eclipse your soul with his righteousness. Amen. Just to give you a metaphor. What's going to happen tomorrow, they tell us, is the moon is going to line up with the sun right over us and block all the light from the sun for a period of time. They call that a total eclipse. So we want the same thing to happen to your soul. And it can be a solar eclipse where you let Jesus get between you and the wrath of God and block all of his wrath from coming on you. See, and cover you with his righteousness. Except, you know what? The difference is, it's going to be the exact opposite. It's not going to be dark. Your life is going to be light. He's going to light it up for you. See, he's going to block all the evil stuff out your life and show you a new way. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But what happens, and what I want to go on with my definition, is sanctification means whenever you start that relationship, God wants you to know his Son. That's why he made him famous like that.
Yeah.
He's in your life already, but he just wants you to believe it.
Yeah.
Trust in him. Believe that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says, you shall be saved.
Amen.
Now, you know, we say God does not change. And you can think of it this way. Even before we trusted him, he's been blessing you all the time. He's been blessing you all the time.
All the time.
Now, the fact is, maybe, and what happened in my life,
all right.
I had to realize he's been blessing me all the time.
Yeah.
I wasn't studying him the way we used to say stuff. Wasn't thinking about him. Didn't have a relationship with him the way I wanted. I believed he was there.
Mm-hmm.
I always believed there was God there. I mean, obviously, look around. Look at the place you live in here.
Yeah.
All this stuff happening, the sun, solar eclipses, planets so far away. The sun is so far away that if you could move at the speed of light, you would still die of old age by the time you got there. Did you know that? Wow, you wouldn't even make it, because even if you were moving it at the speed of light, which is extremely fast,
come on.
You still couldn't even get there.
Right.
That's how far it is.
Yeah.
See, but the fact is, time, basically, that's what blows everybody's mind about God. He's so enormous. The heavens declare his glory, the Bible says. Dr. Adams read that for us earlier. And the firmament shows his handiwork, looking around at the stuff he made. It's just amazing. God just wants you to believe him. When you do that, you trust him, you develop a relationship with him, and he's going to light up your life for you. See, he's already been giving you his mercy. Now he wants to give you more of his grace. He wants to have a special relationship with you and cultivate that relationship. You don't have to change anything, but when you trust him, he'll start changing. That's the way it works.
All right.
He'll come into your life.
Yeah.
He'll start changing you from the inside out.
Yeah.
He'll make you think better than you think now.
Yeah.
He'll make you do everything you do better.
Yeah.
He'll fix you up. And we're going to talk about that in the message, so I don't want to give that away.
Yeah.
But progressive sanctification means, as he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Once you take him in, say, Lord, I need you. I believe you covered me for all my sin, all my transgression.
Yeah.
You gave your son Jesus to die for me.
Yeah.
We raised him out the grave to show me that he is the only person in the history of time who has defeated death.
Come on.
In the grave.
Yeah.
The Bible says the wages for sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yeah.
And I want you to know eternal life is not an amount of time. It is a relationship with God. It's not an amount of time. All time is eternal. John 17:3 says, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent.
Wow.
Eternal life is a relationship with the only true and living God.
Yes,
so when you have that relationship, and the reason you don't have it is not God's fault.
No.
He loves you just like you are.
Yeah.
But he wants you to say, I love you, God. I trust you. I believe you gave your son for me. I believe you raised him out the grave because you don't even want me to worry about the worst thing in life, which is death.
All right.
Death has rocked my apple cart many days, many times. Yours too. We've all been hit with the impact of losing somebody we love.
All right.
So God says, you know what? I don't even want you to worry about that. I got that too. That's why I raised Jesus out the grave.
Yeah.
So, and when you believe that I raised him out of the grave, the fear of death can leave you.
Yes.
Now I can concentrate on enjoying my life and moving on, knowing I'm covered and blessed by God.
Yes.
See that? And even when I come to that end, he's already there.
Yes.
He's already covered me.
Yes.
He's met me at the point of my deepest need.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is what am I going to do about that time when that time comes?
Yes.
So, but in between time, he continues to improve your life.
Yes.
So that's what we call the doctrine of progressive sanctification. How does he do it? He starts to teach you his word. His word is different than anything else in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like the word of God. I think I can get a witness.
Come on now. Amen.
The word of God just changes you. When you understand it, all you have to do is understand it. And that's what the church has been tasked with, is to give people the understanding of God's word.
Come on.
And as you understand his word, his spirit will move into you. Did you know that?
Amen.
When you believe that Christ was risen from the dead, the Holy Spirit moves into you.
Yeah.
He doesn't leave it up to me.
Come on now.
You'll say, thank you,
come
Jesus. He don't leave it up to your father, your brother, your mother. He moves in. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in you.
Yeah.
And you know why he does it? So he can lead you and guide you to all truth.
Amen.
And by doing that, he is going to make you another person.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that. That's what this message this week is about.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get on that path and start walking with God? And know that I am his, he is mine, and he loves me and I love him back.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Loving God. Now, I'm going to give you just a quick acronym, then we'll move to our text. I always like this one. Somebody said Bible, B-I-B-L-E, means be informed before leaving earth. Well, it is about information. It is be informed before leaving earth. Because you are going to be leaving earth at some point.
All right.
But be informed, that's one issue, but I like this one better. Becoming increasingly better lovers every day.
All right.
Now, God wants you to become increasingly better loving every day. And love is the problem. That's what's wrong with the world. Tina Turner couldn't figure it out. She said, what's love got to do with it? Well, it's got everything to do with it. And the reason I say that is that they asked Jesus, what is the great commandment? Well, you know what he said? love God.
Love God, right.
Above all things.
Right.
And love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. He said love is about everything.
About everything.
It's important. It's about every matter in life.
Amen.
So, you know what's wrong with us? We don't know how to love the way we ought to.
That's right.
And God, the Holy Spirit, wants to teach you.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. He's going to move in. He's not going to leave it up to your pastor.
Right.
The pastor's going to be feeding you the word, but the Spirit's going to be working on you from the inside.
Amen.
See, he's going to clean you up on the inside.
Yes. Yeah.
He's going to adjust the way you look at stuff.
Yes.
As Dr. Adams' book, Perceptibility, how you perceive things.
Yeah. All right.
He's going to adjust you on the inside so the stuff that used to bother you won't bother you anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it anymore. Why? Because God got my back.
Yeah.
So let's look at this. I want you to see how God is going to take everything in your life once you trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you already do. Some of you swear by him. You love him. You know he is your rock, your fortress, and your shield. You know he picked you up out of a horrible pit, like the psalmist said, like he did me, and set your foot up on a rock.
Yeah.
And he's been building on you, growing you up, strengthening you ever since.
Yeah.
There's some witnesses in this room that know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? God's not going to let you go.
Yeah.
He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Yeah.
He said, oh, I am with you always. Even to the end of the world.
Yeah.
No matter what you're going through, I'm going to be with you.
Uh-huh.
And so what he's doing, simply put, is he's making all things new in your life.
Oh.
And that's what we want to call this message today. All things new. That's the saved life.
Mm-hmm.
When you're saved and you know it. And you know what? You should know it. Most of the time we don't know it because we think it has something to do with what we did.
Right.
If it has something to do with what I did, boy, I'm in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Boy, I'm in trouble.
Yes.
Help me today, God.
Yes.
If it's got to do with me. But you know what? It has to do with Christ.
Yeah.
He died to make you right.
Come on.
He gave his life as a ransom for me.
Yeah.
He did in order to eclipse your sin from God, where God does not see it.
Amen.
God says, I don't see any sin. I'm looking at Douglas, but I don't see nothing but Jesus.
Yeah. All right.
Jesus is blocking out everything negative coming from everyone. His brother Tate, I don't see nothing but Jesus.
All right.
Look at you.
All right.
See, so think of it that way. Your soul, it's a solar eclipse. Your soul has been eclipsed with Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus is blocking it out
from
God the Father. He doesn't want to see it. God said, I got to put something in between here because I'm perfectly holy.
Yeah.
Let's read this text together. Why don't y'all stand if you can and read this with me. So blessed to see all of you here today. Really, really a blessing to see all of you in the house today. Amen. So let's just read this. This is a psalm from the Old Testament, and in Psalms number 7, that we're going to read 7 or 8 verses of it here from 10 to 17. Let's go here on Psalms 7:10. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He will bend his bow. He hath bent his bow. He hath made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He hath ordained his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity. He hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. The psalmist understood something there. That's the Psalms number 7, verses 10 to 17. Now let's take a look at a New Testament reading. We cut to the end of the book of Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. And this is from John the Revelator. Let's take a look at the read here. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that of the thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You have heard the word of the Lord. To the people of the Lord, you may be seated in the sanctuary. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And as we said, we're going to use the subject of all things new. Let's pray. Eternal God, we bless you this morning. Father, we praise you. We bless your holy name. Father, we just need a word from you today, Lord. Father, we ask you to just come in right now into our hearts, our minds, let our minds be clear from any concerns anywhere outside this place today. Help us to just marinate in your word today, God. Take our souls, God, and just take us on a tour into your word, Lord. Help us to see things that we never saw before, Lord God, in your holy word. You said that your word will wash us, cleanse us, and sanctify us. And Father, we need it today. Father, we come even asking to cleanse us, oh God, from any kind of a misconception, and turn on the word, Lord, and light it up for us, oh God, in order that we might give you praise, honor, and glory. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the risen one, with whom you are well pleased. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said together, Amen. Amen. So I want to talk to you just briefly this morning about all things new. Amen. The Bible says that when we trust and believe the gospel, which is the good news that God has given his Son.
Yes.
And not only did he give him, but he also, when I say give him, that means he even let him taste death for everyone.
Yes.
In order that he might show you, I have authority and power even over the grave.
Amen.
Anybody you might be thinking about, and all of us have been touched and hurt deeply by the problem of death. It's one of the most painful things that you can ever experience.
Amen.
But when we think about what God did, he wanted you to be able to get past that. Because there's coming a day, as we read there in Revelation, when I will make all things new. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth where your righteousness dwells. It'll never be tainted with sin again. And you know what I did? I came in the middle of the time system that you live in right now, and I showed you I got the answer. No one else has ever done that.
No one else.
The only one who did is Jesus. If Jesus hadn't gotten out the grave, there wouldn't be a church today. Let me tell you that. There wouldn't be anything to preach.
All right.
The reason we preach is we want you to know that whatever you've been through, and all of us have been through it, it's concerning the loss of a loved one.
Yes.
God says, I got this.
All right.
Amen. I got the answer. You know what? Nobody else can say it.
Nobody else.
All these so-called religious factions and people all around, you know, you can go visit the tomb of Buddha.
All right.
If you want to waste your time, go ahead over there and visit. You know, or you can go to the tomb of Confucius. Because he don't know what's up with how do you get out of the grave.
All right.
Only one person ever got out the grave. You can go to the tomb Jesus borrowed and it's still empty right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if they ever put Joseph in there. Was his tomb. He borrowed a tomb for a few days because he knew he wasn't going to need it. But just long enough to show the world that I have the solution.
Come on now.
To the problem of death.
Yeah.
The Bible says the wages for sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's the most profound thing about the gospel, is that God has already defeated death, which is the worst problem that we have as people.
Right.
He's defeated it.
Yes.
And the only reason I'm here today preaching is because I believe it.
Yeah.
You know what? The world wouldn't be configured around a dead man if he hadn't gotten out the grave. And this is not just the United States. It's the planet, people. All the way around the planet, 2017. So when people want to neglect that and skip over and skim over and try to tell you something about some equality somewhere else, no, ma'am. No, sir. If you didn't get out the grave, baby, you don't have it.
All right.
That's like somebody asked Louis Armstrong one day, how do you make that trumpet sound like that? He said, baby, if you don't understand it, you ain't got it.
All right.
That was his answer. How can you make that trumpet sound like that? I said, baby, you ain't got it. You don't understand this. Because that same thing here. If you don't know what the fact that you can get out the grave, that's the only thing that's important. The wages for sin is death. The solution for sin is Jesus. The full payment is Jesus. And so that's what we preach. We call that the gospel. Somebody else might want to say something else is gospel, but if you can't defeat that tomb, you don't have any gospel.
All right.
See, and so we were having a discussion. This is what prompted this. I want to help y'all get to my train of thought. And we'll get this over with here. On Bible study this week, we were talking about some things, and it touched quite a few people in the class. They were saying, "Well, boy, when we read that, boy, we shiver and shake. There's some scary stuff in the Word, and it is. And God wants you to take it reverently and understand what He's saying." For example, let's just go to over here. I'm going to skip to Revelation 21. Notice this last verse we read. It says, "But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters," and this is, "and all liars." Oh boy, I'm in trouble now. "Shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. Wow, there's another death? Other than that one, that first one?
Yes, it is.
Yes, there is. There is a second death. And so what I want you to know is some of this stuff we say, boy, you know, I'm not some of this other stuff here, but this liar, boy, that kind of makes me shake a little. Because I know I haven't said everything true all my life.
Amen.
And it's in the list.
Amen.
So those are the kind of things you go, well, how do we explain that? And what's up with that?
Yeah.
Well, I want you to know that what God knows is people who trust Him live a different way than people who don't trust Him, simply put.
Yeah.
Amen.
People who don't trust Him, they will try to make God an accomplice with them in their sin.
Yep.
They'll say, well, you know, God made me this way. That's the reason I'm twisted like this. Folks who trust God go, boy, I'm twisted like this. Jesus, help me. That's the difference. Because we know we're twisted and we want God to fix it. We don't try to make God a liar and say, you twisted me, so I'm going to stay this way. See, that's the difference, is the attitude of your heart.
Come on.
Do you side with God and the truth? Or do you make God a liar? See, you want to make God an accomplice with you in your sin, you got a problem. God says, I'm holy, I'm just and good, I'm totally pure. Notice what the psalmist says here. Let's go back to Psalm 7 and 10. "My defense is of God," he says here, the psalmist, "which saveth the upright in heart."
Yeah.
What happens is you get your heart fixed when you trust in God.
Come on, man.
You know, God knew I was so pitiful, He gave His Son, because nothing else could cleanse me.
Yeah.
Not another thing.
And He didn't do it for no reason. I trust Him, and He's doing it to cleanse me.
Yeah.
And my heart is right toward God because I know what He did, and I understand the expense of what it cost Him to save a wretch like me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't take it and say, well, God, you know, I'm going to use that as an excuse to be a wretch. My heart is fixed toward God. I want to be right with God. I know I'm a wretch. I'm mourning over it. That's why Jesus said, blessed are they who mourn. Why? For they shall be comforted. The ones who are mourning and hungering and thirsting for righteousness shall be filled.
Amen.
See, it's not the one saying, well, you know, I'm twisted and God made me this way, so I'm going to wave a flag. No. You got the wrong heart attitude toward God.
Amen.
So you side with the enemy who's trying to destroy you, rather than siding with God who gave his son to save you. Because he knew we were so pitiful, the only way I can do it is I have to have a perfectly righteous substitute to stand in their place.
Yeah.
And if you realize that and you can side with the enemy and say, well, I'm like this and I'm going to stay this way and wave the flag and make God my accomplice, that's a whole other attitude than a person who's broken in their spirit.
Yes.
Because I know how wretched I am.
My.
He turned on the light in my soul.
Yeah.
You know what? I still got some issues. Maybe you do too. I'm not going to speak for you. But I know God is working on
it. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? God is a perfect, beyond a perfect gentleman. I don't know if that's probably a cheap explanation.
Yeah.
But he knows what you're dealing with.
Yes, he does.
And he gave his son to wipe the debt clean up front so you can know where I'm coming from. I'm giving you perfect righteousness. And you know what? I'm not going to leave it up to the church, even though the church is authorized to preach and to teach my word. I'm going to put my spirit in you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Look at here.
And if my spirit is in you, he's going to be there to illuminate my word.
Yeah.
He's going to be in there to convict you
when
you do wrong. He's going to be in there to comfort you when you do right.
Amen.
And he's going to lead you and guide you to all truth.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Leading and guiding, that suggests it's a journey.
Yes,
amen.
So what? How are you on your journey? How is your walk with the Lord?
All right.
Are you letting God lead you in righteousness?
All right.
Or are you saying, oh no, God, you made me this way. I'm going on down the dark path. See, that's the difference, is the attitude, the upright in heart. Is who God saves, the psalmist says. Notice this, verse 11. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day.
Every day.
He's angry with that. You know what? I'm angry too. I'm so sorry that I still have stuff that's not right.
Mm.
And that's the stuff you pray about.
Yeah.
He even prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies.
Yeah.
He said, as often as you do this, this do in remembrance of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You can't come to this table and come here. I've never come there and said, oh Lord, I'm pristine today. I don't really need to partake. I've never been able to do that. When I come, Lord, I'm thinking about all this stuff because I know I'm doing it in your face.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that ain't right, everything I said that wasn't right,
mercy,
every bad attitude,
yes, mercy.
And I'm coming here asking you, cleanse me again,
yes.
Take me on a deeper journey, walk me deeper toward righteousness, bring me closer to Christ's likeness.
Yes.
I know I failed, Lord, but you said you covered me already.
Yes.
And so that's what this table represents.
Yes.
See, it's a place of cleansing.
Yes.
I'm coming here to be cleansed.
Yes.
The person with the right heart, who's upright in spirit, knows they got stuff that's wrong.
Oh,
that's why sanctification is progressive.
Amen.
You know what? I can come here also and truthfully say, Lord, look at this list of stuff that I used to do that you took it away.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone.
All right.
Don't do it no more.
Amen.
You know, I'm still pretty bad over here. I got a few things on this list. But this list here is getting longer and longer.
Yeah.
And this one is getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. So my attitude toward God is what makes you upright in heart. It's not that you are totally pristine.
Yeah.
Notice what he says here. God judgeth the righteous, but is angry at the wicked. You see that line between the righteous and the wicked?
Yeah.
If he turn not, this is speaking of the wicked, he will whet his sword. In other words, God is sharpening up a sword of judgment for people who deny him.
Yeah.
People who make him an accomplice with them in their sin. People who turn away from his word. People who disregard the truth.
Yeah.
He has bent his bow. You can see the archer.
Yeah.
In other words, he's ready to strike.
Yeah.
And it's made ready. He has also prepared him instruments of death. You talking about death? Which death is that? The second death.
Second death.
For those people who ignored me when I was trying to be merciful.
Right.
See that? He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, he travaileth with iniquity. God is laboring every day
mm-hmm.
with iniquity. That's that tendency to do wrong. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
That we're born with. Every one of us have it.
Yes.
But it's one thing to say, I'm born with it, God. I hate it. I side with you. I want to be right. Another one to say, I'm born with it, so I'm going to keep it and amplify it and
mm-hmm.
continue down the dark road and ignore your truth. Two different things, two different sets of people.
Yes.
And the psalmist writes here. Notice what it says here. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
He made a pit and digged it and fallen into the ditch which he made. You're digging a hole to bury yourself in if you're working against the righteous truth of God.
Amen.
See that? His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealings shall come down upon his own pate. In other words, you're making it bad for yourself if you want to make God an accomplice with you in the things you do wrong.
Yeah.
I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, the psalmist said, and will sing praise unto the name of the Lord Most High. That's the difference. Folks who love God, their heart is toward the Lord. They're trying to do the best they can. They seek his face. They confess their faults. They fellowship one with another. We side with the people who are trying to do the right thing. We want to avoid the judgment of God, which is making ready to fall on those who ignore him. So since it is fully understood that the true God is completely holy — holy is a word we really don't even understand. We say it, but we don't really understand it.
All right.
I don't think it's possible to fully grip in a fallen human mind what holy is. But it's so far the opposite of where we are, and it's right, it's toward righteousness and good, that we need to understand it. So it is fully understood that God is completely holy.
Yeah.
It must not be even a consideration that he offered up his only begotten son, Jesus, to be crucified so that professing believers in him might continue in sin. You think that's why he allowed Christ to go to the bloody cross?
God forbid.
Paul said it right there. I got it on your paper there, if you got one. Romans 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And this term, God forbid, in the Greek is the strongest negative in the Greek language. We might say, we've got a lot of them, we say stuff that says that. Perish the thought, some people used to say.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of different terms, but they translated God forbid. The Greek is megeneta. It's this word of disgust is the most negative thing you can say in the Greek. God forbid, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because grace abounds more than our sin. Shall we continue in sin?
No.
Paul is saying no. And so we have to understand that sin is not your friend. Sin is deceitful.
All right.
It's trying to destroy you.
Come on.
And it's destroying a lot of people who refuse and want to make God an accomplice with them in their sin. Rather than realizing God has given his son to a grisly cross in order to keep you out of hell. To keep you separated from his judgment. So I don't have to loose my judgment on you. So the ones who have a rightful claim to the salvation paid for with the blood of Jesus are the same ones who, since their salvation experience having been born again, have the internal conviction that they are deeply sinful. That's the way you feel.
Uh-huh.
Paul said in Romans 7:24, "Oh, wretched man that I am."
Yeah.
He didn't say I was.
I am.
Read it for yourself. Romans 7:24, the writer of half of the New Testament. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's what he said, didn't he? Because he knew he's going through.
Yes.
Yo, he used to think he was fine when he was on the Damascus Road. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. He thought, oh, I'm all good. I'm going down to stump the unrighteous and get them out of here. But he found out he was wrong. And then he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
Yeah.
See? And he went blind. God put spiritual blindness on him, and it was actually physical blindness, because he wanted him to be at the complete mercy of his church.
Yeah.
One thing I got to point out on that, and I didn't get to talk with you all about it. Interesting to me, he didn't have Peter.
All right.
Or John. Or James.
Nope.
Who did he get? Ananias. Who is that?
Yeah.
Who is he? Virtual nobody, as far as we know. He was a regular, not that he was a nobody, but he was not an apostle. So what is God saying? He's saying anybody in my church, the least of you, is authorized to tell the gospel. Ananias was on a street called Straight, minding his business. He was not no apostle. He didn't have no office. He said, oh Lord, no, you must be mistaken. You don't know who that is you talking about sitting down here. That murderous lowlife? Oh no, Jesus, please don't send him. You know, because he had a bad reputation.
Yeah.
But you know what he said? He's praying now.
Yeah.
Change. You go on down there. I change it. I'm changing him right now.
Yeah.
And he's already seen you coming to him in the future.
Come on now. Come on.
Don't you know every one of you who trust Christ, you have been authorized by
God
to tell the good news?
Yeah.
You don't have to be an apostle. You don't need no title.
Come on.
All these folk hung up on titles today.
Come on.
Oh, I'm the right bishop. Most, well, come on now. Please.
All right.
Every person who trusts the Lord, you have the authority from God to share the good news with all your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, all your children. You can go tell anybody at your school and they can't make you stop because you got free speech.
All right.
You can tell them about Jesus. Jesus loves me. He died for me and rose from the grave. You've been authorized by God to tell the truth. See, and think about this disposition here. That's what I wanted you to see today. It's a disposition that all things in my life are new. Doesn't mean I'm perfect and flawless and spotless. I wish it did. I really do. I wish I could be the perfect husband. My wife will tell you, that ain't so. I wish I could be the perfect father. Or just the perfect friend. Or whatever. Just name something. You know, I'm not there.
Amen.
And I'm grieved about it.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about it.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm not trying to say it's okay.
All right.
Because God is showing me in His Word it's not okay. You got a ways to go, buddy, and you need to keep stepping.
Come on.
Get on the King's Highway and keep on stepping.
All right.
Keep on. You're getting there.
Yeah.
I'm bringing you, but you got to stay on the road.
All right.
So it's that deep internal conviction that we are deeply sinful and are pleading with God to deliver us from our sinfulness and actually getting healed little by little, day by day. And not the ones who are using their liberty as a cloak for maliciousness.
All right.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Peter said, don't use your liberty as a cloak for maliciousness.
Come on.
Watch out.
Don't do that. Don't say, well, I'm in the church. That means I can go and do this, that, and the other. No.
No.
And we know we got issues. God's going to fix it.
Yes, amen.
So don't use your righteousness as a cloak for maliciousness. 1 Peter 2:16 says that. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, all things have passed away. Wow, that old lifestyle is dead. It's passed away. That's what we say.
Hallelujah.
And he says, behold, all things are become new. So you have a new perspective on life, a new way of doing things. You know what? You are haunted by old stuff all the time. If you like me, I'm see y'all looking like, well, I don't have that problem, Pastor. Well, maybe you're not haunted with old stuff. I know it just comes in my mind. I think about it. You know what you got to do? Put it out.
All right.
That's why the Bible says put the helmet of salvation on.
Well,
cover your mind from old stuff you used to think and do.
Yeah.
Don't let it take a hold of your life. I know you've been on Facebook and you saw your old ex and all that. Plank that thing out. Get it off of there. It ain't going to do nothing but get you in trouble.
Amen.
Some of y'all probably didn't look some other places. It's even worse. But we got to stop that. You want to weed that junk out of your life. Because it will take you down the wrong road. You'll be like these folks who God has got an arrow lining up ready to let it go. I don't want to be in front of that when he let that loose. I want to be on the right side of that thing.
Yes.
I'll tell you now. Because if you are in Christ, all things have passed away. Behold, all things. You see that? Or become new. This is the everyday normal pattern of life for the ones who are Christ. They mourn their sinfulness. They don't flaunt it and or promote it or desire to continue in it.
Amen.
Because all things are become new. You're a new creature in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I just wanted you to understand that today. We talked about it. It kind of hit me in Sunday school. I mean, a Bible study. And some people were a little nervous. Well, yes, all of us still have stuff that's not right. But we don't approve of it.
Amen.
I don't approve of it. I know it's wrong.
Amen.
Paul said, I see another law working in my members, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. See, and it's in there, so the whole key is, you know, it lets me know you don't ever need to miss a Bible study. You don't ever need not to be at church. Because you got too much stuff still need to be cleaned up. You know when Jesus may come back? The next second from now. We don't know when it'll be. He says it's going to be like a thief in the night. When you least expect a thief, don't say, hey, you ready to break in? Wake up in there. No. I'm breaking in. I'm coming in under stealth.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So it behooves the church, have yourself ready.
Amen.
Be ready. Don't be like the foolish virgins in Matthew 25.
Yeah.
The Bible says it was 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish.
Uh-huh.
The 5 wise had their lamps trimmed and full of oil, ready to go in when the bridegroom came. And the 5 foolish didn't have any oil. They sat around, hey, we got a while. He ain't been back. He ain't been, don't know when he come in, so we ain't going to worry about it. Then all of a sudden, a cry came at midnight.
Yeah.
Behold, the bridegroom coming.
Oh.
Trim your wicks and get your lamps lit. And the 5 wise got up and lit their lamps, and they were ready. Then the foolish came, well, hey, give us some of your oil. Well, it's too late now, baby. You need to go down to Walmart. Ain't no oil up in here. You know, you got to get that yourself. You got to take care of your own account. Because I'm going to go in. The bridegroom is coming. You know, so be ready. We got to be ready. Got to be prepared. And you know what? You can be ready in 1 second. God has given you the ability to repent. And to be forgiven. He said, that's why I said stuff like this. And this is what was worrying people. And I just want to make sure you don't be worried. God don't want you to be worried. But he said, what if we confess our sin? That he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. What you need a verse like that for? If everybody's all pristine and perfect, we don't need that, do we? Well, yes, we do. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to be confessing our sin, not saying, oh, God's okay with this. No. Totally different attitude. That's what I wanted you to get. It has to do with the orientation of your heart toward God.
Mm-hmm.
See, yes, I do have some stuff I need to confess all the time. That's why when I come here, I love it. This is the place where I can unload. God, forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he said? He is faithful and just to forgive you. If he forgave you the first time, you know what? I was dirtier when this whole list here was all the same as this list.
I'm right.
I was immersed in the depths of dirt. And he saved me then while I was in the pit. See? So he's going to keep you moving forward on the King's Highway. So I hope that blesses you and answers the questions that you need that we had on Tuesday. Amen. So if you're here today and you're not saved, we want to invite you, trust Christ. There is nothing that you can do to save yourself except believe on him whom he has sent. God sent his son. And he said, whoever believes in him will not perish. In other words, he promises that if you trust Christ, you will not perish. That means that arrow he got stored up to send judgment in the world, it won't be coming to your place.
Amen.
You see what I mean? That sword that he got all shined up, that he's ready to strike judgment. When the heavens and the earth have been rolled up like a scroll, and they vanished, and there was no place found for them, and there was no more sea. That blows my mind to read that. Wow, Revelation, no more sea.
All right.
Look how much of the sea there is in the world.
Yeah.
No more sea. And maybe John felt like that because he had been out on Patmos, a little dot of land out in the middle of the ocean, miles from anything. They took him out there and said, just go out there and die. They get on out there, we're sick of you. And God came right there to him and gave him the book of Revelation. See, which is one of the most beautiful books in the scripture. But he wants you to know, I love you. The problem's not on my end, so don't go blame me if you're not saved.
That's right.
The fault is yours if you don't trust Jesus. And we want you to. That's why we're here. We love you. And he left us. We were talking about this morning, me and Minister Patey. And there, he has given you power of attorney.
Amen.
Because I'm done. I did what I need to do. Now guess who's going to tell everybody in the world? You all. I give you my authority. But you know what? I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm with you always. Even to the end of the world.
That's what he said.
So I'm going to be with you, but I'm going to be in you. And if you believe in me, I'm going to fill you and be in you.
Yeah.
And when you see the word, wow, it's going to light up like a Christmas tree so you can get what God is saying to you. See, and the whole recurring theme in the book of Revelation is let him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches.
Uh-huh.
See, Holy Spirit says, trust Jesus. Believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
That's it.
Amen. We invite you, let's stand right now, please. We invite you to come at this time. If you have never seriously given Jesus your life, do it right now. Let's pray. Lord God, we bless you. We praise you. We have heard the good news that you have given your son. And we know it because you made the world wrapped all around him. It's 2017. They're talking about a solar eclipse. Lord, we need a solar eclipse. Yes. Eclipse our soul with Jesus and his covering and his blood in order that you might not see the filthiness of our soul, Lord God. And cleanse us, move in, and help us to be like you. Mm-hmm. Help us to see your word. Help us to know about your grace and your mercy.
Yes.
And help us to share it with as many as possible while time remains.
Yes.
And Father, we believe you raised him out the grave so we don't even have to worry about death or anything of that sort, Lord. And so we pray that for anyone in the room who is asking Jesus to be their personal Savior right now, fill them right now, Lord God, where they're standing. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Bless their minds with understanding, Lord, that they'll know that you love them just like they are, but you love us too much to leave us the way we are. And so you're going to change us little by little. Father, we love you, we praise you, we give you the glory right now. We ask this in Jesus' name. The church said, amen. Give God a hand praise. Amen. Amen. If you're here and you'd like to become a member of the St. Timothy MB Church, we want to give you that opportunity as well. You can come at this time as a candidate for baptism or a Christian with experience. Maybe you already were saved and you're looking for a church home. We are here for you. Amen. We want to be a part of that process as God teaches you his word. And we're thankful that he has sent you here today.
Amen.
So we'd like to receive you. Our other people who joined last week, they're on the road taking their daughter to college.
Amen.
That's why they're not here today. I did talk with the Crawfords and they're taking her daughter to college. We want to pray for them on the road.
Yeah.
Amen. It's a blessing. Amen. Amen. Pray for traveling mercies for them. Amen. And other than that, we have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room.
Amen.
Amen. We hope you got a good word from the Lord today.
Amen.